Boom! What's going on, everyone? Steve Larson from Sales Funnel Radio. I am very excited for this episode. Today, I'm going to teach you guys how I do some fast targeting for my marketing.
I've spent the last 4 years learning from the most brilliant marketers today. And now I've left my 9-to-5 to take the plunge and build my million-dollar business. The real question is, how will I do it without VC funding or debt, completely from scratch? This podcast is here to give you the answer. Join me and follow along as I learn, apply, and share marketing strategies to grow my online business using only today's best internet sales funnels. My name is Steve Larson, and welcome to Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up, guys? I'm excited for this episode and today. Now, a lot of you guys may not know, but it was probably like the third funnel I ever built. It was for a charity. And what we did is we built... Anyways, it was for this mud run. And it was a 5K warrior mud run. And we had fire pits and mud pits, obviously, and crazy obstacles where you put on all this this armor and have to go running through all the... Anyway, it was a lot of fun. Well, all the money that came from that 5K mud run that we put on, all of it went to a charity for the Fisher House Foundation, and it was a lot of fun. It was my first event funnel, and this is when I was still in college, and we had 650 people show up for that event. The funnel worked very well. The way we promoted it worked very well, and it was a ton of fun. We got on news several times with it. It was fun. It was a good experience, and it was very validating for me as well to sit back and go like, oh crap, like, I mean, I knew this would all work, but man, this funnel stuff really works. We ended up using the funnel again after the event was done to raffle off some cool items and things like that. Anyways, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it a lot. And it's funny how long it took me to build the simple 2-page event funnel. I think I remember I sat down and I was like going random places in campus where there was faster internet. And I think it took me 40 hours to build this 2-page funnel, which is, anyway, whatever. But it was a ton of fun, though, and I learned a lot from it. And, okay, now let's think about this for a second. I'm going somewhere specific with this, and I've been really excited. I just got my first massage ever, like, 2 hours ago. And while I was getting this massage, I went with my wife, and I was thinking about this episode, and I was like, I had filmed a round one of this episode, and I did not like it, and I was sitting there getting massaged by this lady, and I was like, crap, I have to go refilm that. Okay, think about this, though. Okay, back to the mud run thing. If I have this mud run, okay, this mud run's coming, and we had all these people on campus. There's 15,000 people, you know, at a time. There's 45,000 that went to the school, but there's 15,000 each semester that were there, right? And so that's a lot of people. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of sample size, right? And so what we would do is we would go talk with the college newspaper, college TV, and all the different distribution channels that were out there to ask them if we could drop messages to the student body, right? Hey, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? And running through all the red tape that is there. Anyway, it was a ton of fun, and I learned a lot from it. And what ended up happening was, like I said, 650 people showed up. And who do you think, I got asked this question to you guys, who do you think showed up? Okay, what is there going to be? There's going to be mud, right? There's going to be running, right? There's going to be tons of stuff, right? There's going to be obstacles. Steven, where are you going with this? Okay, just think about this with me for just a moment here. I've been trying to figure out how to teach this principle in a more simple manner, okay? If I'm selling a mud run, who is the most easy person to sell? Somebody who already does mud runs, right? Someone who already does mud runs, okay? And you guys said, Steven, no duh. Like, and we would think, yeah, no duh, right? But we don't do that with our own products a lot of time, okay? If I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna buy running shoes, who do you think is the easiest person to sell running shoes to? Somebody who's probably already bought running shoes in the past. Okay. Does that make sense what I'm saying with this? Starting to get maybe a little bit. Who would be the, right? Who, there's going to be a race involved. Who's the easiest person for me to go target when I'm talking to somebody? I'm saying, hey, here's a race. Somebody who's done races. Okay. Now let's flip this a little bit. Who would be the most challenging person to sell a 5K warrior mud run to? Someone who's never ran a race in their life. They like being clean all the time. They don't own a pair of running shoes. You know what I'm saying? Right? It's like, the opposite of this, the opposite of this one, the opposite of this one, opposite, the opposite the whole way through, right? And what I'm trying to get to is I want you to think about how you do your targeting, okay? There's a deep, deep level of marketing that I like to go through whenever I create a sales message, right? I'm gonna go through vehicle, internal, external false beliefs. I'm gonna go in, I'm gonna craft stories. I'm gonna figure out the source of their current false stories, right? There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. But I think a lot of times what ends up happening is we skip over this category, this area, who is already highly likely to give us money along the way, okay? I was talking to one of my friends a few nights ago, and we were talking about this, and this person is having a hard time getting over the fact that just because they sell, you know, let's say I'm just being I'm changing names here, all right, changing the story a little bit to protect the innocent. They don't know I'm going to tell a story, so I'm not going to say anyway. but let's say I'm going to go sell cookbooks. Who would be the best person for me to target if I'm going to sell cookbooks? Somebody who's already buying cookbooks. But a lot of times, us as marketers, what we'll do is we'll sit back. I see this often. I would not bring this up if it's not true. Okay, there's a lot of marketers out there that when they create their product and it's a freaking 5K warrior mud run, they're like, "How could I get? I want to change the world, right?" And I'm like, "Okay, that's good." But they're like, "No," meaning I won't even sell anybody. The easiest sale. I won't sell anyone. No one can come to me unless I'm changing the world, which means I'm no longer going to be selling somebody who's already doing these things. I'm going to go sell somebody who has literally lived their entire life on the couch. Okay? Because it means that I'm changing the world while I do my business. And I'm like, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to change the world. That's great. I want to also. Okay? But as far as like a product goes, that's a sucky way to do your marketing, right? Does that make sense? You guys getting this? Okay. If you think about this whole thing from this standpoint, right? Periodically, probably once every other week, I'll just get on Amazon. I'll look at all the books I've bought in the past. And what I start doing is I start looking for ways to spend money. I know that's what I'm doing. I need a dopamine hit. If you guys saw that episode, right? And I'm like, huh, I haven't read these hundreds of other books on all my shelves. What if I go buy more books? Oh yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I like books. I love books. So I went and I got two, shelves more of books. anyway, it's $200 more worth of books. And I do that routinely. And it's probably every other week that happens. And two books I'm really excited to read are these books right here. I don't know these authors. I've not been asked to say this. I'm just stoked. Look at the titles. Marketing to Mind States. The Practical Guide to Applying Behavior Design to Research and Marketing. Oh, baby. Can you imagine the mental ecstasy? What? That's going to be a good one, right? Changing Minds. The Art and Science of Changing Ours and Other People's Minds. Wow. Like, that is some tiny, tiny font, right? That's really cool stuff. I'm excited about it. Okay. What I'm saying is I think what ends up happening a lot of times when we're marketing, and I don't want you guys to get stuck in this trap, which is why I'm bringing this up and the reason this episode is going down. Okay. There seems to be this theme going on where if, especially for a lot of new marketers, but even experienced ones, we go through a ton of trouble to go through and find the vehicle, internal and external related false beliefs, which we should, and it's great. Okay, but and we go and we craft these stories and we set up all these campaigns and these sequences and we make ads and creative and we make content. We make all this stuff, but it's targeted to the person on the couch rather than the person who's already in motion doing these things. Does that make sense? There's a lot of people out there that do that, right? I know without a doubt one of the reasons why my stuff has done so well this year is because I'm targeting people who are already in motion doing the things that I'm selling, right? I'm not trying to convince somebody, hey, come do a mud run. I know you've never put on running shoes. I'm convincing the person who is running, hey, you like that run? Why don't you come over and do this run? Super cool, I'll give you X, Y, and Z. The length of sale is super tiny. You guys getting this, right? When you guys think about hot, warm, and cold traffic, okay? We got hot, warm, cold traffic. Right, Eugene Schwartz, baby, right? Straight from the source here, right? super, super short education bridge is required with hot traffic, right? Super. When we say, oh, you got to create a bridge, not all bridges are the same length, okay? You got to create a bridge or education, right? I call it a, you know, right? It's an education bridge. Sometimes I think of it that way a lot of times. The education bridge required for hot traffic is very short. Why? Because they're already in motion, right? The education bridge required for cold traffic is freaking huge. In fact, there's not many products out there that even ever really hit cold traffic. There really isn't. I mean, true mainstream traffic, there's not that many products out there that will ever hit that. It's usually these two right here, okay? The hot and the warm traffic. That's it. And what I'm looking for is okay, if I'm gonna go sell a mud run, or am I gonna go sell a knickknack or product or whatever, info product, coaching, I don't care what it is. If I'm gonna sell any, I'm looking to sell it to people who are already taking active steps in their life, because it means I don't have to work on rebuilding dumb false beliefs, right? I mean, I'm still gonna do it, but it's way easy to knock down the false belief. Right here, it's like freaking Fort Knox, right? In the cold traffic area, it's super hard for me to break down those kinds of walls. And they don't want them broken. And a lot of them, they don't care. Oh, you mean I didn't have a problem before and you're trying to educate me that a problem exists? Oh, I don't want more problems in my life. You know what I mean? Cold traffic's really, really challenging. And because of that, what I'm looking for, if I'm going to go sell, like a lot of you guys know, right? The product that I started selling when I left ClickFunnels was an MLM. It's an MLM product. Why? Why did I choose that? The reason I chose it is because I knew that people in that space were already trying to do funnels in that MLM space. But there wasn't anybody who had stepped up and said, hey, here's a source where all of you can come learn this stuff, right? That's partly what I mean when I say, like, listen what the market's telling you. The market is telling you how it wants to be sold. Well, the market said, Steven, would you please make cool funnel education in the MLM space? All right, didn't say that, but I was looking at it and I was like, crap, y'all are trying to do this stuff. Why don't I just set up here's the training, here's the pre-built stuff, here's Q&A sessions, here's the bam, 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 boom, done, right? And it was a big success out the gate because I was selling people who are already doing mud runs. Does that make sense? I was selling people they already own the tennis shoes, man. A lot of them are already trying to build funnels. They were just sucky, right? A lot of them were already, does that make sense? It's so much easier. And we end up going in and trying, right? This is what I call customer collection when you're selling hot traffic, right? This is customer collection. Cold traffic, when you start to move further down this road, and I know I've talked about this before on the podcast, but this is when you start to getting into customer creation. That is really, really challenging, you guys. Not many markets ever survive that area. Okay, when you get to customer creation, that is a different beast right there, right? And y'all know I'm a ClickFunnels fanatic and I will be forever. Call me minion or whatever, okay? Okay, if you think about what Russell did, that man's a genius because what he did is instead of saying, yeah, right, he first started selling, look at this. This is huge. When you think about the positioning of your business, you need to look at this stuff, okay? If I'm looking at like ClickFunnels or my own product or wherever, right, the first thing that he did is he took ClickFunnels and he put it into the website space. He threw rocks at websites. Said, hey, websites suck. Why don't you come over here and start doing this funnel game? Now, who with that short message does that attract? The people who are already likely customers. They're not creating a customer. They're collecting a customer. Does that make sense? Think about that. Think about how it is that you're marketing right now. And when you think about the education length that you are requiring your customers to go through before they're able to purchase from you, make sure you're not trying to build one of these for the prestige of it. Okay. When I go out and I start building
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Marketing message. In fact, I'm super psyched, guys. I get to go do some really, really fun consulting here soon. I don't know if I can tell you yet. Anyway, contract's still going down. But it's in a really cool place that makes a lot of really cool movies that we all really know about. And I'm really, really pumped about it. But the mistake will be for me to go down in these different areas and places that I'm going to start going to and say, hey, check it out. Why don't we go fish in a pot? Let's go get these people to watch movies. Let's get, right, that aren't already. You get that? That'd be stupid. I'm going to sell mud runs to the people already doing races. I'm going to sell mud runs to the people already doing mud runs. I'm going to sell cookbooks to the people already buying cookbooks, right? Means I don't have to go in and say, hey, you should buy this thing, right? If I'm going to go sell software, I'm going to sell it to people who've already bought software in the past. Easy, 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 fast sales. Super fast. Way easier to do it that way. Otherwise, you sit back and you're like, you got to go through this massive convincing game. And the convincing game sucks. I hate it. You get into a feature war. If you feel that you've been in a feature war with your customers, you're selling the wrong person. I'm not saying you're not in the right market. I'm saying you're selling the wrong person in the market. Okay? So if you watch the way ClickFunnels is run and you watch the way successful companies have blow up so fast, one of the things they're really good at is grabbing the super easy hot traffic, this kind of right short education bridge from this market. And then when they can feel that that market's kind of starting to dry up, they don't just go to warm. They just go grab the next market. All right. And then grab the easy piece off of that and go grab the next market. Grab the easy piece off of that. Right. And Russell's like, oh, you know what? Let's go sell the B2B space. All right. There's a category. There's a group inside of that B2B space that would love to build funnels. You know, oh, let's go over here. Let's go to the supplement space. Yeah, let's show them how it works for supplements. Let's build a few supplement funnels, do a few episodes about it. Boom, easy buyers, picked them up, right? Then the next place. How does a company without any VC funding, any of their own money, right? Or any kind of debt in general, gather hundreds of millions of dollars? I mean, they haven't been around that long. How do they do that? That's how. They're not getting distracted by going around and trying to create new customers. They didn't for the first 3 or 4 years, right? It's only been in the last like 6 months where we started doing, right? ClickFunnels started doing things like the One Funnel Away Challenge, which, right, I help run that. And I get on and I yell at people and I'm like, look, my explicit role in that whole thing is to help create a customer, literally, okay? I'm there to groom. I'm there to sift and sort. I'm there to get people out who shouldn't be in there, who are the hardest people, who are going to be the most challenging customers. Sure, they could buy, but they're not the dream customers. The dream customers, they want the short education bridge. They're faster purchases. They're faster success stories. They don't fight me along the whole way, right? If I'm going to go and I'm going to start selling a mud run, I'm not going to go sell to people who've never run ever. They're going to ask me dumb questions like, should I warm up? Should I tie my shoes? Right? Should I bring a water bottle? Right? Should I get good sleep the night before? You know what I mean? And I'm not making fun of anybody, but like, you gotta understand, like a lot of you want to see if you're selling the right person, look at your support tickets. Look at the questions coming to your people, coming to you after somebody buys from you. And if they are more akin to, right, short education bridge style questions, right, you'll start to see. I'm not going to give you like a parameter there, but you'll start to see, oh, sweet, like I'm getting a lot of good questions there. Or like, oh man, I'm getting a lot of dumb questions. Not dumb, but like questions that represent I did not create the right marketing. I created the wrong bridge. Crap. I actually went through that at the beginning of this year. January, February, March, I was selling probably like right here in this zone-ish. And I realized that. And I was like, crap, I am selling the wrong customer. I'm selling a more challenging customer. It's not that I'm not willing to help them, right? But I'm there, but right? I'm there to make a change Steve Larson's world before I make a change the world business, okay? And you should be doing the same thing. Don't worry about going in. Guys, cash out hard, make a lot of money. Capital's pig, baby, right? Cash out, right? Just go ahead and do that. Make a lot of money. Millions and millions of dollars are created just by soaking up the easy buyers who are already in momentum to purchase things that you place in front of them, right? Before you even have to go start solving things like warm market. Is this warm market or cold market? Every time I see somebody on Facebook say, we just turned on ads for cold traffic, I want to reach through my screen, give them a hug, and then slap them. I'm like, no. Why? Don't ever create, especially out of the gate, like people create brand new products. And the first thing they go do is create cold traffic, massive bridge marketing. Rough. That spells somebody who's going to call funnels a scam later on. Like, I put all this money and it didn't work. It's like, well, yeah, duh. You're trying to sell somebody who's never gotten off the couch to come do a mud run. Right? Or somebody who's hates exercising. Right? They're not going to go do a mud run that's meant to be for fun. And so I hope this makes more sense. What I want to do real quick is just walk through like kind of a fast checklist. I've been part of a really cool project I can't tell you guys about yet, but I just spent 3 days. I wrote 25 pages for this super epic thing. I'm looking down because I got legal pads and papers all over the place with ideas and stuff over. Okay. But one of the things that I did is I created a checklist to help people just briefly understand if they're targeting the right person, okay? So before you even move on to creating a marketing message and finding false beliefs and telling new stories and matching with, you know, all that stuff that we do, okay? Before you even get to that kind of thing, you're asking the question, am I even talking to the right person? Is this the easiest sale? Is this the sale that has the smallest bridge required? I literally just tell them, oh, hey, there's a mud run in your area. Here's the date. And by the way, here's kind of a cool offer that comes with it. Sweet. Sold. Done. Right? That's way easier of a sale. So number one, so let's think about it as in terms of like business building, right? If I'm going to sell a business building education program, or let's say I'm going to sell business building events or business building info products or coaching or whatever, right? I would expect to sell people who already have a business. Okay, feel me when I'm saying that. If I'm going to sell something called how to build your business, it will be a drastic mistake for me to sell people who don't have a business yet. But that's counterintuitive to what you feel in your brain, right? Does that make sense? If I'm selling business building education, the best purchaser for me will be somebody who already has a business, who's just looking to tweak theirs, right? It's going to be a mistake. It's going to be a much larger bridge for someone to cross if they're building a business for the first time. They got to deal with all the mental crap besides all the strategy stuff, right? The mental junk that goes down inside someone's brain the first time they go build a business is huge. I deal with it all the time. Thousands of people, okay? Saying things like, well, I know you said to publish, Steven, but what if someone reads what I wrote? People have asked that. And I'm like, isn't that the point? Yeah, hopefully they do. What? Then ask them if they liked it. What do you mean, right? There's a lot of mental stuff that goes down. And so if I'm going to sell business building education and programs, I should sell people who already have a business. Easy sale. Okay. I'm going to sell somebody who's already been list building. If they know enough to build lists, man, we're talking really easy drop in the hat sale now. I'm going to sell somebody who has like they have a product that's a similar price point that mine is. You know how easy that is to sell somebody a $15,000 thing when they also sell something that's around 15 grand as well? Because in their mind, they justify it easy. They're like, oh man, that's like one sale for me, right? But if I go target that at somebody who's still in a 9-to-5, they're like, 15 grand. Holy crap, that's like 2 or 3 months of work. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? That's going to be really, really hard to get that individual to say yes to that. So I'm going to target somebody who already has a business. They sell an expensive product. And then they can justify it. Oh yeah, you're right. That sale we just got, let's just kick that cash over to Steven. Let's just do that, right? I'm going to go in and if I'm selling a business building education program or whatever, I'm going to sell to people who are already doing things on the internet, right? Then they don't ask questions like, but how do I build a social media profile? They already solved that problem, right? Education bridge length is represented by the number of problems they've already solved in order to use your product. That's what it is. That's what an education bridge is. The bridge that's super freaking long, it means they have a lot of problems to solve still. They haven't walked through a lot of things that are required in order to be successful with your thing, with your product, right? So they got a lot more problems. By definition, you are literally taking on far, 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 drastic, far, huge, far more problems than the person up here, right? And I'm not saying you shouldn't help them, like I'm saying, but gosh, just freaking sell somebody who is already likely to buy and already highly likely to be successful and already highly likely to go out and do exactly what you say, right? Otherwise, I mean, when I sell somebody that's like this versus somebody who's, you know, down in the hot traffic versus somebody who's in the cold traffic, man, it is leaps and bounds. Not just in my business, happiness level is different. Like my personal life, I emotionally feel better. I, at the beginning of this year, I had to switch customers so fast. As soon as I did, it was like, oh, holy crap. And then when I did that, man, then the game got even more fun. And I was able to sit back and go like, geez, okay, I get it. All right. If I'm going to go sell people an education on how to publish, the easiest sale is for me to go sell somebody who's already publishing. Sounds counterintuitive. But that's the easiest sale. Are there as many of them? No, but they're fast sales. They're quick cash injections. I mean, I don't got to go around and what I mean, not a lot of money. I mean, there's still millions of dollars in each one of these, right? For you to go scoop up and grab before you have to throw in the towel and start selling warm traffic. Darn. Okay. I'm super pumped. I just bought mycontentmachine.com. Mycontentmachine.com. Nothing is there yet, so don't worry about that. anyway, I'm super stoked about it though, because I want to teach you guys how I do all that. And anyway, it'll be a ton of fun. Anyways, guys, that's the whole point of this episode, is I just want you to take a look and realize like I'm really good at changing people's minds, but like, if that's the place you're jumping to, changing minds, right? I'm excited to read the book. I'm not dropping on this book at all. I'm excited to read all those books I get, but if you're jumping there first, it's highly likely that you're skipping over this hot traffic that are easy buyers. If you immediately are jumping into a feature war, if you have to defend your product like it's a dissertation for your PhD, or you know what I mean? Like you got to defend that thing. It's highly likely that you are not selling or have figured out how to speak to hot traffic. Okay. Hot, mega hot traffic means they're problem aware. They're aware of solutions that exist. They just need to see your solution. They're so educated already. It makes it really, really simple. Anyway, just take a look at who you're selling to. And if you're getting close to speaking to them, and take a look at your customer base. And if you're not selling anybody yet, just know that when you build your product and you start selling them, right? Or if you're doing affiliate marketing or whatever, make sure that who you're speaking to is already like massively dispositioned to purchase already, which usually means they're already purchasing stuff similar to your thing, right? And they just need something new to buy to scratch the itch. Just stand in front of them. All right, guys, hopefully enjoy the episode. A little more deep. I'm glad I did this round two. It made way more sense this time. I was trying to distill down the idea and it took me a while. Anyways, hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. Very, very excited for everything that's coming on up. Very excited for 2019 and all the things that are going on. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Oh yeah, wasn't that awesome? Hey, just real quick, a few months ago, Russell asked me to write a chapter for a secret project he was doing. And I had to write a chapter for a book, and this was the prompt. This was the letter I got from him. He said, "Hey, Steven, let me ask you a quick question. You suddenly lose all your money, along with your name and your reputation, and only have your marketing know-how left. You have bills piled high and people harassing you for money over the phone. Plus, you have a guaranteed roof over your head, a phone line, an internet connection, and a ClickFunnels account for only 1 month. You no longer have your big guru name, your following, your JV partners. Other than your vast marketing experience, you're an unknown newbie. What would you do from day one to day 30 to save yourself, Russell Brunson? Hey, if you want to see my answer and a bunch of other marketers that also had answered that in this amazing book and summit, just go to 30days.com/Steven. Again, you can see the entire summit, you can see the book, you can see what we wrote in there, and each of our detailed plans. Just go to 30days.com/Steven. That's 30 as in 30, 30days.com/Steven, STEPHEN. Guys, enjoy.